Uncurling from her place on the tiny trundle, Robin tried to stretch tight muscles without disturbing Hope. She'd felt compelled to slip into bed next to her husband the evening before as the lights were extinguished. But as soon as Rand had fallen asleep, Robin joined her daughter in the trundle, eschewing any possible physical contact with the man who'd given her his name. The pre-dawn hours were still dark, and the fire burned low, so Robin hurriedly untangled herself from Hope's sleeping form and pulled on one of the dresses she'd brought to Taylor's Falls. Although each threadbare garment was much too large, she layered them one over the other before she fled Pennsylvania. "You are an early riser," a husky voice rumbled from under the covers. Hurriedly shaking the hem of her dress so it fell to her feet, Robin flushed and turned away while she did up the buttons on her bodice. Memories of the men who'd torn at her clothing so many years earlier made the young woman fumble in her haste. The shifting of blankets and the creak of the rope bed made Robin freeze. Her heart thundered, and blood pounded in her temples. "There's no need for you to wake," she breathlessly commented. "Your father often quoted Benjamin Franklin, 'Early to bed, early to rise, makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise,'" he recalled. "I'm not sure I'm living up to the proverb, but I do try." Relaxing at the reminder, Robin let a chuckle transform her fear. Keeping her back to the undressed man, she moved toward the fireplace and began to stir up the remaining embers. Rand tugged the trousers over his prosthesis and lifted the suspenders over his shoulders before approaching the delicate woman. Laying a gentle hand on her shoulder, he quietly admonished, "Let me." Jumping at his touch, Robin clasped a hand over her mouth to stifle her surprise. "Easy, sweet Belle. You're safe here," Rand soothed, letting his palm slide down her spine. Reminding herself to ignore the sensual sensations the touch inspired, he gathered the frightened woman into a loose embrace. "I hope you can be comfortable here as well," the enamored fellow said when her hands tentatively came to rest near his waist. Uneasy at the nearness, Robin tipped her head back and sighed.
"Mr. Teehalt, I fear I may disappoint you."
"Am I repulsive to you?"
"No, that's not it. But you have every right to think less of me, sir. It is obvious I am no innocent," she quietly answered, pointing to the trundle where Hope slept. "And my family is tainted, my mother's evil leeching away any possibility for a respectable future." Stepping out of a tender embrace, Robin backed into the table and turned to face the fireplace.
Merry flames danced where she'd recently added the kindling and wood, and it was an apt reminder that an all-encompassing inferno could quickly grow from smoldering ashes.
"Do you truly believe that? Have you given up all faith in your future? Did Pa tell you why he sent me here? Did he explain Ma's wickedness?"
Robin hoarsely demanded, her eyes glazing with unshed grief.
"Why would you willingly bring such evil into your home, Mr. Teehalt?
Your mother's dealings are her own, and your wounds are not self-inflicted. Would you ask me to render a guilty verdict where none is due?"
No, it's not that,"
Robin sighed, anxiety blooming like a plague in her belly.
"But you have already shown more kindness than I expected, and I couldn't bear it if you were tainted by our presence."
Joining his wife near the warmth of the fire, he was surprised to feel her fingers grasp his hand. Matching their palms, he slid his fingers through hers and lifted them for Robin to see.
"We are one now, Mrs. Teehalt. Please tell me what it is that has you unwilling to believe that we might have a happy life together."
A shudder went through her body, and Robin clamped her lips together. But her groom quietly waited, his thumb drawing a soothing line across her knuckles, so she slowly began.
"When Stewart's men rode through, Ma allowed some of them to camp on our farm. She offered herself to those who shared their provisions. We were hungry, and Ma was desperate. But I cannot believe she ever intended that I become part of the bargain. Still, once they were gone, she found it easier and easier to barter her body for what we needed to survive. And then my cousins came from Mercersburg, compromised by another group of the marauders. Betsy and Penny are several years older and were waiting for their beaux to return from the war. But when they stumbled in several weeks later, destitute and ruined, they joined Ma in her endeavors. Ma did what she had to do to keep us fed, but when Pa came home, I thought that would be the end of it. Yet, within a month of his return, my youngest sister Rosanna was sent to Philadelphia to work as a housemaid.